I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It is a Falcons football Sunday Wade Ford tailgate show. We are now another hour away, or hour closer, I should say, to kickoff. 1 o'clock kickoff, 3 hours away at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on a picture-perfect day for football. It'll be one of those days that you wish you could be in an outdoor stadium because it is just absolutely the way God dialed it up on a Sunday here. Falcons going for 4 wins in a row, taking on the Seattle Seahawks. John Pricky alongside our Falcons insider and reporter Joe Patrick. We are in lot 432 here as we bring you from Northside and Markham, bring you the Wade Ford tailgate show. 11 o'clock, top of the hour. We'll take you inside the stadium with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson and the network pregame show, and of course Wes and Dave with the call of the game. Again, the Falcons 4-2 on the year. They've won back to back to back. They swept the South, Joe. They couldn't have drawn it up much better. They own all the tiebreakers at the moment. I mentioned during the last segment briefly, kind of offhandedly, with the Vikings being at 5-0 and the number one seed currently in the NFC. With the loss last week of the Commanders, the Falcons currently sit as the number 2 seed in the entire NFL.
How about that? That's awesome. Love to hear that. I'd love to hear that.
I mean, in the entire NFC. But, you know, and people are, oh, it's too early. No, it's never too early because tiebreakers are us. 4-0 in the conference. You win today, you go to 5-0 in the conference. You're 3-0 in the division. You win today and next week. And again, you know what? Next week, they could, in theory, next week, if they can win in Tampa next week, they could actually lock down the division tiebreaker.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And it seems like a two-team race at this point in the NFC South, especially. So let's hope they can do that for sure. It's kind of like we were saying at the top of the show, it's kind of been the way that a lot of Falcons fans would have scripted things out so far, just with the way the season's gone. But to the point that we were saying how it's unexpected, maybe didn't come the way that we thought it would, it's actually been better to the point that you've been making for a long time because the teams that you've actually beaten are all the ones that matter, basically, in these tie-breaking situations.
Well, because, you know, again, when you start looking at the quality of the wins, what are the most important wins? Well,
yeah.
The most important games are home division games, and then road division games, then home conference games, road conference games, home non-conference games, and road non-conference games are the least important game. So when you're playing a game against Pittsburgh or Kansas City, even though they're home games, they're among the least important games you can play.
Yeah.
The most important games are home division games, and you won the two home division games.
Yeah.
And then you go on the road and win a division game. So those are the 1 and 2 most important games you can win. So now, beyond that, conference games, you won at Philadelphia. Now can you beat Seattle in this? Now, speaking of that, Byron Murphy's a former star defensive tackle at Texas. They probably could have used him last night against Georgia. That's another story. He comes out talking smack this week about the Atlanta Falcons. He's the Seahawks draft pick. Byron Murphy said he heard the rumors the Falcons would draft him before Seattle did in the first round. And he said, quote, "That's a big loss for the Falcons. They're going to feel me on Sunday."
Okay. Them's fighting words.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's go.
We'll see. They're talking big over there. They're smack-talking it, too. But Seattle's got some injury issues, and the injury report is brought to you by Fireshire from the W Sauce. Bigger, better, bolder, and now spicier. Visit the WSauce.com to find a Fireshire retailer near you. And so, Joe, some injury concerns for both teams. Let's begin with Seattle, where they've got a problem on the back end.
Yeah, they do. Reek Woolen is going to be out. He was a big question mark coming into this game, but they're missing two corners, Reek Woolen and Trey Brown. But Reek Woolen is one that is they're kind of big-time starter, has a ton of speed, really emerged as one of the better cornerbacks in the league. And so what the real impact of this is not only do you not have him, but that also potentially changes how this team is able to use Devon Witherspoon, who they drafted last year, who's been a really good corner, but they like to use him in a lot of nickel situations, and it's to be determined whether they're actually going to be able to put him in some of those spots because he is kind of an aggressive player and a good tackler in the box, and maybe the Falcons get some favorable matchups there. So two big cornerbacks out for Seattle?
It might actually be three. I mean, they lose Woolen and Brown, both their starters, and one Artie Burns, one of their key backups, he's out on IR with a toe injury.
Yep.
So they are really depleted in the back end.
Yep.
I would imagine that if you're Zach Robinson and Kirk Cousins, you're looking at that saying, we've got to, maybe even early in the game when you're first scripted, you're taking a shot downfield.
Yep, they're also going to be missing a free safety in Jarek Reed. So, you know, yeah, a lot of issues for them in that secondary that they're going to have to work through. They're also going to be out one tackle, Stone Forsyth, who I believe is just a reserve tackle. He's going to be out for this one as well. So they're dealing with plenty of stuff. And the Falcons are dealing with some issues,
too. We're not done with the Seahawks
yet. Okay. Go ahead.
So the Seahawks' leading rusher is Kenneth Walker.
Yeah.
And Kenneth Walker III is listed as questionable for the game. They suddenly popped him on yesterday. They popped him on the list. Apparently he's sick.
That's right. I heard. Okay, so I heard this last night when I was working the Atlanta United game that he came down with an illness.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the illness. And so even if he's ready to go, if you're coming off an illness and they're just pumping him full IV fluids,
right?
You know, that's one of those things where either you're not 100 or by the end of the game you're worn down. So
that's
something to keep your eyes on, too. He is their leading rusher. He is their key back behind Geno Smith.
He is absolutely incredible. And if you want if you're Seattle and there's some good news, it's that you have a capable backup in Zach Charbonnet, who's one of the better backup running backs in this league. But that would be not a miss if he's unable to play, but, you know, just a huge, I think he's going to be diminished in some respect one way or the other. So, big challenge for the Seattle offense against this Falcons defense. And, you know, it's a weak Falcons defense, as we were talking about earlier, so something's got to give. I think this is kind of where the game is going to be made or broken by one of these two teams, is on that Falcons defense, especially up front on the line versus the Seattle offensive line. But are we ready to move on to the Falcons now?
Sure.
So it was some interesting news that broke from the Falcons yesterday, where Lorenzo Carter, we mentioned this earlier on the show, but he had been listed previously with an illness, and then that was changed to a concussion designation.
Right.
And now he's been put on IR, which you don't typically see
with a concussion. I know.
Right. So, could indicate that there's something serious going on there. So, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with Lorenzo Carter while he's gone. But in his stead, Kevin King, the cornerback or the defensive back who's been playing a lot of dime for this team, played a lot against Carolina. He has been signed to the active roster. And Natrone Brooks and Damone Harris, guys who were those bubble roster guys in preseason, they have been signed to the practice or their practice squad elevations, for the game today. So they'll be dressed out and ready to go.
Is Justin Simmons going to be able to try it, do you think?
He is questionable, and I do believe that he's going to play. That's me just reading the tea leaves of the way that Raheem Morris has talked about it, but it's always felt to me like they were just kind of, you know, play things slowly with him and hopefully have him be able to go. He's been limited at practice Thursday and Friday, so if he's able to be limited, at least be out there practicing to some extent, I would think that they would want him to try to go, because if he's not, you're then, you know, forced to play Richie Grant against, you know, a really good trio of Seattle wide receivers in Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. So, difficult situation for the Falcons' defensive backs in this one, going up against that triumvirate of receivers.
Are we hearing anything more about the progress of Troy Andersen?
Not really. It's been a huge question mark, and he's out today once again, so you're wondering why, if maybe they should have put him on IR, but because he will now have missed. This will be the third game that he's missed since coming down with that knee injury late in that Saints game, playing on special teams, by the way. It'll be interesting to see if he plays any more special teams this year after suffering an injury there. But he will be out for this one. So that's going to be a loss for the Falcons. Those are the players who are out are Troy Andersen and Lorenzo Carter, on top of the IR guys who are already going to miss out. Another questionable guy is Antonio Hamilton. He had a limited and full practice this week, though, so I would expect him to be able to play.
Well, that's one of the reasons you elevated Kevin King. Justin Simmons' hamstring, if he can't go. DeMarco Helms is back. That's the good news. So that safety room getting DeMarco Helms back, if Simmons can't go, we all, you know, look, DeMarco Helms could play.
Yeah.
So we all know that. And we saw what Kevin King could do as a veteran on that corner. Look, the secondary is going to be fine. And you mentioned this, and so I think we need to go to kind of this with the trio with DK Metcalf and Jaxon Smith-Njigba and, you know, what Geno Smith wants to do. If Kenneth Walker can't go, it seems to me that I'm just going to guess here that we might see Geno Smith throw it 35, 38 times today. That they may try and test the Falcons here through the air, because if you don't have, look, I agree that Zach Charbonnet is pretty good, But I think, and when I say 35-30, I'm not talking about vertically.
Right.
You're not testing the corners.
Right.
A lot of it's short, intermediate, over the, you know, they're just going to try and hit the Falcons, and move the ball, kind of like that almost like long handoff, you know,
yeah.
kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of short passes from Geno Smith today, which is going to put a lot of pressure on the linebacking core of the Falcons, especially without Troy Anderson.
Yeah, this actually is the number one passing offense in the NFL in terms of yardage, the Seahawks. That's kind of their bread and butter. So the Falcons have to expect that. And again, the Seattle offensive line is a huge question mark, both in the run game and the pass game, pass protection. So you would hope that, again, this is another game where if the Falcons are truly close to getting to the quarterback, that this would be one of the games where they'd be able to do that. But, you know, again, like we were saying earlier, I'll see it when I believe it. And by the way, John, on DeMarco Helms, Raheem Morris did say earlier this week that he is still weeks away. He's eligible to come off the IR at this point of time. But he's not. Yeah, but
I saw him coming off the IR. Right.
Yeah, it's just one of those technicalities.
That's why I ask you.
Right.
But, I saw that. I was like, oh, good.
Yeah, yeah.
So I jumped the gun on that. All right, so anyway. Seattle won his first three games of the year. But in the last 3 weeks, that defense in Seattle, which is banged up in the secondary, has really fallen apart. They've given up 107 points in three straight losses, and they have been taken to the woodshed a couple of times. I would hope that the Falcons – I'm kind of counting on this. The Falcons' offense has kind of found its footing. Zach Robinson's kind of settled in. Kirk Cousins has settled in. They know what they want to do. They know how they want to attack. They're getting more comfortable with the route tree, with the timing, and the Seattle defense, which is banged up in the back end and really isn't very good to begin with, is something where you can exploit this, and the Falcons can go out there today and maybe put up another 35.
I think so. I mean, I definitely think there's an opportunity for that kind of performance from this offense. Frankly, it's one of those games, to your point, that they kind of should be able to do a lot of what they want. As long as they're executing, I think they're going to be able – they kind of have advantages all over the place, the Falcons offense does, against this defense, especially with their injuries. So it should be a fun day for the Falcons fans to watch this team perform.
This portion of the Way 4 Tailgate Show brought to you by Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster is the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. And so as we look at this, you know, you've won three in a row back-to-back-to-back and swept the South. I asked Squid this week, and I don't know how to look this up, I was just texting with him, and I said, hey, Squid, you know, have the Falcons ever won three straight division games? And because I don't know. I mean, maybe they did at some point. You know, maybe in 19 – when they were in the NFC West in 1976 or something.
Right.
You know, they beat the Swampers, the Niners, and the Rams back-to-back-to-back. Maybe. But that's a fairly rare – first off, it's fairly rare to have three division games
just
in a row.
Have three on your schedule, yeah.
And then to win all three, I mean, that's the kind of little thing within a thing. This is why we talk about when people say, I had fans saying, hey, it's too early when I'm posting things like second place in the NFC. Oh, it's too early. No, guys, this is a year, guys and gals, five of your first six division games are in the first 11 weeks. As I mentioned, it could work out. That next week at Tampa, if you can go to win, and next week at Tampa, you have clinched the division tiebreaker by week 8.
Yeah, and it's one of the reasons why I think there was some anxiety about the Falcons' schedule when it first came out, because you're thinking, okay, we have a new offensive coordinator, new quarterback, you know, new coaching staff in general, and we've got all these division games that are coming up pretty early on our schedule. You know, right here in weeks 4, 5, and 6, these are really, really important games that this team needs to take at least 2 out of 3, you would think. And then, of course, the Falcons go and sweep it. And I think that that's one of the reasons why they're feeling so good at this point in the season.
Right, because this will all come back to you. And that's why this game is important today. Don't get it wrong. Again, this is a conference game. And if you go to 5-0 in the conference, you own all the time. I mean, you start to own all the time. I mean, forget about head-to-head. I mean, with Seattle, because who knows what's going to happen with that team. It just becomes a case where, you know, you've got the head-to-head against Philadelphia already, and you'll have an opportunity to get a head-to-head against teams like the Bears and the Commanders later in the year. But you already, you know, you put yourself in a position where you're going to be, again, it just starts to be a math thing.
Yep.
And if you can continue to win. Now, there's the win streak, too. Now you've won three in a row. I should have probably gone back. I probably could go back. Maybe somebody can go back. Did they win in 2017? Did they have a streak where they won four in a row? We know they did in 2016 because they went from 7-5 to 12-5.
Well, In 2019, they actually won four in a row. They went from 3-9 to 7-9 to end the year and kind of killed their draft pick. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
And it saved Dan Quinn's job for five more games.
Yes, it did.
So
I had forgotten
that was a little bit of a, maybe not the best time to win four games in a row as much as we typically like to see that kind of thing. But, it probably has been. I'm just now looking at the 2017 schedule. They did not win four games in a row that year.
Well, obviously it did 2016 because of the playoff run. All right,
right.
So we are at the corner of Northside and Markham. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show counting down to kickoff. Seahawks and Falcons at Mercedes-Benz Stadium live today on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Make sure that they know that we're going to line back up or you're going to have to beat me again.
Getting you ready for today's game.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9. The game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9. The game.
Snap to Cousins. He wants to throw. Quick shot. London. Touchdown, Atlanta. He pivoted against J.C. Horn and boxed him out and caught the rock for the score.
Walk into your trap, take over your trap.
Walk into your trap, take over the trap. The line of the week from Kirk
that was
Cousins.
Incredible. When he said that, I'm sitting in the back of the press conference room. I'm just like, oh my gosh. And I didn't even realize it was a rap lyric, I guess. Is that what it is? Yeah. So I didn't even realize that, but I knew it was along those lines. Let's put it that way.
Walk into the trap, take over
so
the trap.
So funny.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah, and of course, in the Kirk Cousins world, what he's referencing is a trap game. You walk into a trap game, you take over the trap game, and that's what they did. I don't know that it was ever really a trap game in Carolina. I think they were pretty locked in, but you walked into a trap, take over the trap, and you went on the road. And that's basically their new kind of motto is when they go down to Tampa next week, they'll say, walk into the trap, take over the trap.
Yep, that's right.
They'll say that in the locker room before they hit the field. Welcome back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. John Fricke and Joe Patrick with you. Counting down to the Falcons and Seahawks and Mercedes-Benz today. What it takes to win is brought to you by Motlick and Associates. When winning is everything, you call Motlick Injury Attorneys at pound win. That's pound W-I-N, pound 946. Well, what does it take to win today here? Joe, as you look at the two teams, what do the Falcons need to do on offense, do you think, against this Seattle defense to kind of continue what they've started to build here in terms of what they are becoming as an offense, what they are evolving into.
Right. It's interesting what's happened with the Falcons so far this season, especially in the last 2 weeks. Because you look at it, you have this 500-yard game against the Bucs, and then you follow that up with a really run-dominant performance against the Panthers. And I think that what we're all waiting to see is really to see a true blend of those two kind of aspects of the offense come together in one game, which I don't think we've seen yet, which I think is one of the encouraging or optimistic ways to approach this Falcons team so far, is that I think that they haven't played their best game yet, even offensively. In some of the, they put up 36 points against the Buccaneers and whatever, but I think that there's a better performance yet to come from this offense, and so maybe that can happen today. But to get back to it, it starts with establishing that run game, which is, of course, what every team wants to do. But really utilizing Tyler Allgeier, I think that was the big thing that came out of that Panthers game, was how you can actually implement him into the offense in a way that doesn't really overshadow Bijan, or it just helps everyone be more effective. And for this team to have its best offensive performance, it doesn't mean that Kirk Cousins has to throw for 500 yards, but it just means that you have to be efficient on every single play that you're running. They were close to it against Carolina. They were moving the ball. They were pretty efficient in the passing game, but they can be better. So it starts with establishing that ground game, though. That's the kind of style of offense and the way that they were able to impose their physicality on Carolina that we've seen under Arthur Smith, but we haven't really seen it as much under the Zach Robinson offense, maybe because of some of the things that they're trying to do, but we're still waiting for that to all come together.
You know, I'd be interested in seeing, like, jet sweep stuff from Bijan with Tyler in the backfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'd be interested in, something that moves the eye line to these linebackers. Oh, there goes 7. Yeah. Now here comes 25. Who's the ball going to? I'd be interested in seeing some of that. But that's just a small kind of one-off here.
Yeah,
it's a wrinkle. I want to see more from Kyle Pitts. We've seen two big explosion plays this year, but consistency is lacking. And by the way, I do want to give out, before you get into this, because I don't want to forget to say it, a shout-out to Charlie Werner. He was getting all sorts of love for one of the great blocking plays. I mean, that double block where he pancaked two guys.
Yeah.
Pancakes a guy, comes off, pancakes
bounces
the other
off
one.
Him, and then that was unbelievable.
As a pulling tight end.
You know, I'm really glad that you brought him up, because as far as this team establishing the ground game and all that, he's a huge reason why. He's a huge reason why they were able to do that in that game. And they split out Kyle Pitts a lot more in that game as the X receiver, which I'll be interested to see if they go back to. And because, honestly, to me, it feels like Charlie Werner is actually more of the kind of tight end that this particular offensive system needs to be effective. Because really in the pass catchers, they want these like smaller separator types of guys who are versatile and can play different roles. And Kyle Pitts certainly has some of that versatility, being able to play in line as a tight end on offense and being able to split him out and whatnot. But they really need the tight end to block. That's what really helps give these offenses, this style of offense, its physicality. And there's a reason why they signed Charlie Werner to a 3-year contract after having been, a backup blocking tight end in San Francisco. But coming from that Kyle Shanahan scheme, he knows exactly how this kind of offense is supposed to run and what is expected out of him. And I expect him to continue to get more playing time as the season goes on.
You know, I expected he was going to be, alongside Caleb McGarry to help out and chip and being kind of like semi-max protect Kirk Cousins in the pocket. I did not expect him to have this impact in the run block game.
Yeah.
And they've really used him effectively and drawn up some nice stuff for him.
Can I say one more thing? There is a thing that when we talk about, it sounds nice to say, Charlie Werner needs more snaps. There does become a numbers game. I mean, it is kind of a zero-sum thing where you can only have 11 players on the field at one point in time. And, if you're going to play Charlie Werner, are you playing Kyle Pitts? Is Kyle Pitts on the field? Well, if Kyle Pitts is also on the field, then you cannot have Ray McLeod on the field, who's been a really, productive receiver for this team so far. So there are some trade-offs that come with putting Charlie Werner on the field, but if it makes you a better football team and a better offense, then I think you have to do it.
This portion of the Wait For Tailgate Show brought to you by Orchard. Sell your home, get paid twice. Learn how at orchard.com. Music is up. Vibes are good here.
It's always fun to, the show that we do that runs from 9 to 11 a.m. before a 1 o'clock game, you really see people wake up, kind of get down here. They're moving kind of slow at first, but then things pick up over the course of a couple hours, and then it's really bumping usually by the time we wrap up.
In golf, we call it aiming oil.
exactly. A little beer jacket. You got to put on for a chilly day, chilly fall day.
Yeah, I mean, perfect day for it, too, here.
Beautiful out here.
And one of the good things is that I've seen a couple of Seahawks fans. There's not going to be no Seahawk takeover today.
No. I think I've seen one Seahawks.
There's another one. There's a Bobby Wagner.
Gosh, no.
Doesn't look like Bobby Wagner, but
yeah, no one from the current team. Haven't seen any current Seahawks jerseys around.
Jim Zorn hanging around here. Steve Largent.
I don't think we're going to see any of those.
No, right? You never know. I mean, there could still be some old school as we got down to the Seahawks. All right, so let's flip this around a little bit and look at the defense. We've talked ad nauseum about the pass rush. But what are the interior defensive line here? Let's talk a little bit about Aurora. and Onyemata and Grady and what they're doing in the interior of the line. Back to that run push here, because if Seattle, even without Kenneth Walker, if he doesn't play, and we don't know, it'll be a game-time decision, or if Charbonnet plays, they've got to show an ability to make the other team one-dimensional in order to kind of just take control of that part of the game. And if you want to make a team one-dimensional, with your secondary, you want them to throw that ball a lot, because that opens that secondary up to making big plays.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the good news for the Falcons is that the Seahawks have generally been a one-dimensional team this year. Like we said, they're first in passing yards this year and 29th in rushing. So, like, they really have been leaning on that pass game so much this year. But the Falcons have gotten gashed on the ground. It makes you wonder if they could change some things up and potentially have some success against this Falcons defensive line, where we were talking about it earlier in the show. Sometimes this defensive line just looks like it's getting moved. You know, the offensive lines are creating a new line of scrimmage 2 yards upfield, and that just creates a whole heap of problems for your defense in general. So it's really important that.
But doesn't that shock you?
It does. It absolutely
does. Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata.
I
know they're getting 3-on-2. Yeah. I get that. In this scheme. That's why I wondered if there was a scheme. But doesn't it shock you that they're getting moved quite that hard?
It really does. And not only those players. not only those two guys, but like Eddie Goldman you're getting back, who was a borderline Pro Bowl quality player when he was in Chicago last time we saw him. But, he doesn't play for a couple of years. And I don't know how to evaluate. I'm not like a football evaluator in terms of like the technique and everything that's being used. But clearly something is happening. And I do kind of go back to just Raheem Morris, Jimmy Lake, whoever it is that's kind of implementing most of this stuff. But just the light boxes. There's usually six men in the box, and those guys are just getting blocked essentially. Nobody's getting off their blocks.
They don't play a nose. And if you had that, if you could, it was at one point I think Dan Quinn experimented when they drafted Deidre Sanai. They put him at the nose tackle.
Yep.
And they actually had kind of a guy on the nose to be able to take a one or two gap from either side of the ball, which would free up some guys. So I don't know. Again, this is why I've talked about scheme a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe they need again, you can play three defensive interior linemen if you want. You just shift them a little bit so that you got one in the five gap, one on the nose, one on the other side, and kind of moving out, but they haven't done that yet. And since you're not getting any pass rush, I don't know why. If you're not able to generate pass rush with your front four, then why not just go to a front four that's kind of like run-based to try to take away the run and, worry about your pass rush, some other way.
Yeah. The Falcons are, they're bottom 10 in the NFL and stacking a box, so that would be with 8 players or more in the box. They just don't commit to it with the personnel. And I think the gambit there is you're just hoping your guys win. If you can go lighter in the box, you can cover better, which we talked about earlier. This team is doing very well, but you're not winning your one-on-ones in that situation. So then you're giving up the chunk plays, then you're getting behind the chains, then you're not able to rush the passer. So it leads on to this whole heap of problems if you can't kind of get those fundamental building blocks done up front.
The Tailgate Show brought to you by the W Sauce, the official sauce of our tailgate. Bigger, better, bolder. Visit the WSauce.com today to find a retailer near you. And the W Sauce people are right next to us. And they got their green egg going, and they got everything going on. The W Sauce is smelling great.
It's one of my favorite times in the mornings when I see them light up that green egg.
Because that W Sauce, oh, man, that's some killer good stuff. And I admit that I go over there. And
you want to? So
I've
used the W sauce, and this is very beta.
No, I haven't used the breakfast sauce yet.
I haven't used the breakfast sauce yet either. I need to get some.
Is it
good? Jersey Mike's telling us it's good.
Okay,
I've used it actually. I mix the W sauce and a little bit of mayonnaise and use it as a salad dressing. It's actually pretty good.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I thought about that.
There you go.
Little trick of the trade there. Okay, I'll roll with you on that. What kind of a game are you expecting today?
High scoring, like you said as well. I think this Falcons offense is going to get a lot of what it wants. They only punted once last week, and it was after the initial 3-and-out of the game. And then Bradley Pinion never saw the field again. I think we could definitely see a game similar to that. I think Seattle will put up more. They have better attacking pieces on the offensive side of the football than Carolina has. So they're going to be able to move the ball a little bit. And it's going to come down to whether this Falcons defense can stop them. But I certainly think it's going to be – I think it's going to be tighter maybe than you think it's going to be. But I do think that we're going to get a high-scoring, fun game to watch.
Well, I don't know if I think it's – I wishful think a lot of things, okay?
I know you do.
I, I project wishful thinking. My nature. All right. We are headed towards the network and the top of the hour with Mike Johnson and Chris Goforth as we count down to kickoff between the Falcons and the Seahawks. It is a Falcons football Sunday for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Pre-party for our Falcons.
It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford. Atlanta's fan is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And Joe Patrick with you. A few more minutes for us. Some of the keys to the game. By the way, Joe, during the break, I went next door here to the W Sauce.
Yeah.
And I kind of hit him up for a little tester bottle of the breakfast sauce because we talked about not having, so I'm going to take it home. Not the big bottle.
It's the baby trial size.
Yeah. The trial size. So you got to try. Here's a little trial size. Yeah. So I got to try the breakfast sauce from W Sauce. I'll do that tomorrow morning. Today I got something going on, which is called football, as we get ready for the keys to the game. So as you look at the keys to the game, I am curious, Joe, what you think about the way this game ends. Not starts. Everybody else, how does this start? How does this game end? This team played five games down to the wire, down to the final possession, into overtime. Then last week, they finally got a chance to figure out, or at least to feel and experience, a game where they could kind of put it into cruise control in the final 8 to 10 minutes of the game. Do you think that the Falcons like that so much they said, hey, let's do more of that? I mean, is that going to become a thing where, hey, listen, enough, we know we can win at the end of the game, but boy, we want to have that kind of cruise control going on?
Yeah, probably. I mean, like, listen, you want to run the ball, because what, you want to establish the run, but then also you want to salt the games away with the run. That's what this team was able to do against Carolina. And honestly, I think there's a lot of teams that want to say they want to do that, but they can't actually do it. And how many times do you see the opposing team actually then get the ball back at the end of the game with a chance to go down and score? This Falcons team was able to salt that game away. And Kirk Cousins had a great quote after the Panthers game. Says, you pass the ball to score, but you run the ball to win. And I think that has never been more true more applicable than to this Falcons team right now.
You know, one of the things we ask, in that five games that they played at the beginning of the year before last week was, how are they going to react when they get up by a couple of scores? And I think we saw that.
Right.
Now, granted, you were playing one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in the NFL last week, but
right,
a place that you had not won the last previous 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was that. It was a division game, and yet they handled the end of the game. They handled the end of the game situations in the first five games fairly well. They got kind of robbed a little bit in the Chiefs game. They didn't handle it great in the Pittsburgh game. I understand that. They obviously handled it great in Philadelphia. They handled it great against the Saints. They handled it great against the Bucs. And they handled the end of the game against the Panthers when they had a team to put away that there was never a doubt they were coming back in the game. So they've done a really good – one of the things I think I can compliment this coaching staff on is that they have done a really good job of halftime adjustments.
Yeah,
and
absolutely,
that really bodes well for the future.
This defense especially, I mean, and yeah, whether it's adjustments or whatever it is, this is a different defense in the second halves of games. And even if it feels like this team has been bad in the first half, which they often are, and then you look at the end of the game, they've given up 26 points or whatever it is. Usually, all those points are basically coming in the first half. They're not giving up many touchdowns, especially in second halves of games. So you really do have to hand it to them. And, this I want to see them just put together a better I don't know if their best game, but I want to see them play the best game that they've played so far this year. You know, like, just putting together some of these components that we've been talking about, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Can you kind of merge those into one? And then I think on the defensive side of the ball, you have a great opportunity to have the best game that you've had so far with the matchups that you've got against the Seattle offensive line. Again, that's going to be a huge litmus test for where this defensive line is going up against this offensive line that you really should be able to take advantage of, and other NFL teams have so far against the Seattle team.
Here's another thing, too. This Falcons team, they're not great at it, but they're getting better at it, is the turnover margin.
Yeah.
And they're creating turnovers. They're taking the ball away. There's been an emphasis on it, obviously, but if you think about the big interceptions like Torrey Anderson's, for example, and even last week, I mean, whereas you had Jesse Gates be kind of your turnover guy last
right,
year,
right.
And nothing else worked. Now you got A.J. Terrell. Now you got Clark Phillips. Now you got Justin Simmons. I mean, everybody started to – it's like everybody into the water. Everybody wants to get theirs.
Yeah, and you still have Jesse Bates who's punching the ball out, so you still got that. So, yeah, I mean, that's honestly been, I think one of the big bright spots for this Falcons defense is they have been able to take the ball away. And when you talk about turnovers, also just – they're not giving it away as much as they did when they had a rookie, or not a rookie, but a first-year quarterback playing. And you've got somebody who is responsible with the ball and takes care of it generally. So that's been honestly what's carried them to have a chance to win a lot of these games. And I want to also add on to something that you were talking about watching how this team is able to handle the ends of games. I think it's really encouraging to see how the Falcons have been able to do it, particularly because they've done it in so many different ways, whether it's been having to lead a 2-minute drive, go down the field for it to score a touchdown or to kick a game tying field goal or something like that. They've been able to show that, as well as being able to just completely salt the game away on the ground. Having that kind of versatility is what you want out of a championship offense, which, let's face it, that's what we hope this team is.
Yeah, well, and again, let's go back to the beginning of the game, because quite frankly, what lost in the 18-point win last week over Carolina was the beginning of the game was not good.
Yeah, no, it was not. It was not.
And so, I mean, you were there.
Yeah.
What was the vibe then? I mean, what is it about the slow start of this team? Because this team has not started quickly.
I think you almost expect it a little bit, just offensively. You're going on the road. It's an unfamiliar environment. So, you know, everything's not working completely smoothly. But I got to say, like, what was kind of hard to sit through and watch was the defense just kind of playing soft in coverage, you know, as we've been talking about the pass rush, not getting home, and it just seemed way too easy for Andy Dalton and that Panthers offense to just kind of go down the field on them, and that's what was keeping the game close, and they had a chance to really put the game away. They go down, they score a touchdown, the Falcons do, late in that second half. They were getting the ball back to start, in the first half, they were getting the ball back to start the second half. All they had to do is just stop, don't let Carolina go down the field on you in a 2-minute drill, and score before the half ends. And what do? They let them go all the way down the field and score a touchdown right before at the end of the half. And that really put the game back in the balance for the beginning of the second half. So you'd like to see them, while that game was kind of iced, they won by a comfortable margin late, that margin didn't really start to accrue until the fourth quarter. And so you'd like to kind of build on that lead a little bit earlier in this game.
The inability to get off the field on third down is one thing, but the propensity of this defense to allow 12, 14 plays, 70-yard, 9-minute drives, that's got to stop.
Yeah, and it kills you because, you know, it's one of those kind of those vicious cycles where, like, when your defense is out there for that many plays, it only gets harder to get off the field, not easier. And so, yeah, you gotta try to get off the field as early as you can, which is, I mean, that's saying the obvious, but it's imperative that this Falcons defense is able to do that, because if they're not, and that impacts the offense side of the ball as well. If they're off the field for a long time, they can get out of a rhythm. It's harder for them to kind of get back on the field and feel that flow of the game, the speed of the game. So important for them to this Falcons defense to have a good game today. There's not really an excuse not to have a better performance.
Wait for Tailgate Show. It's a jumping in Atlanta on a perfect day for Sunday football at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Counting down to the Falcons and Seahawks on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Want to really jump on, and I think they have a lot of good reasons to believe that this team is going to go do something this year. At the very least, I think we're starting to think, okay, they're a playoff team. Now, what does it take to get to the playoffs, and then what does it take to succeed once they get there?
There's a different confidence that I'm sensing amongst these Falcons fans that are around us than there was early in the season, where earlier in the season it was more, will they come out and be, you know, the team I think they're going to be? Now there's this team should go out and win this game definitively against Seattle, and that's great to see. That's what you want, and I think it's just evidence that this team is building something on the field.
All right, so Joe, you're the guy that watches this team, and you know the Seattle club, and you see the NFL. What do you think is happening today?
I think the Falcons win. I think they probably put up 30 points in this game. The implied score on Vegas would be like a 27-24 game. I think actually almost those may be almost exact numbers. I know the Falcons are 3-point favorites, around a 50-point over-under. So I think the Falcons actually break beyond that 27-point mark. I think they get up to 30. And the defense I have a lot more questions about. So I don't know how if they're going to be able to hold off Seattle from scoring 30 themselves.
Yeah, right. Well, I think that'll happen with you know, turnovers. I have some oddly specific predictions for today.
Okay.
One, the Falcons get 2 sacks.
That is bold. That is a bold, bold prediction.
I think the Falcons get 2 sacks
okay.
today.
I love
That's
it.
Yeah, I also think that they're going to get a defensive score of some sort.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But it may not be a touchdown. It may be a defensive safety. And that may be on a sack.
Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
Bradley Pinion.
Yeah, I was going to say, Pinion would have a part to play in that.
Exactly. Or they block a punt, for example, out of the end zone. Or I think there's going to be a safety today. I also think the Falcons are going to win by 10 or more. I think they're going to actually have a home game first time this year, because I just think right now their level of confidence is sky high.
Mm-hmm.
They've won back-to-back-to-back where you got a Seattle team that's really questioning themselves coming into this game, and I think that's going to play into the game. And I think the Falcons' level of confidence really went up, not in just winning games at the buzzer against in the last 3 weeks against the Bucs and Saints, but also in that fourth quarter. I think that's where you started to see. The fourth quarter last week gave me a little bit of it, because you mentioned right before the half they give up a stupid touchdown. They probably went to the locker room and say, that's not going to happen again. And then in the fourth quarter, they just went out there and said, okay, look, we're taking over the game, okay?
Yeah.
And Kirk is like, enough of this. You know, we walk into your trap, we take over your trap. And I think Kirk is probably saying that to him now. Look, we're just going to go out there from the jump today. We're going to take over this game. We're going to win the game. And then let's move on to Tampa. I think they're going to view it not dismissively, but in a way that befits a team that has higher aspirations,
if that
makes any sense.
Absolutely. And, hey, Raheem Morris said after the Panthers game, somebody's got to keep winning, so why not us?
You know,
why not us?
Why not us? I mean, you might as well, you know. And I think that we're going to get a Drake London, Kyle Pitts touchdown today.
Okay, like that.
So
like
I got three oddly specific ones.
That's all right. Score, hey, those all hit.
A defensive score, sometimes two sacks, and a Kyle Pitts touchdown. And maybe get some of the people off poor Kyle Pitts back. You know, I mean, I'm not saying poor Kyle Pitts. He's got to produce.
Yeah.
But I understand that. Well, it's been a lot of fun. Beautiful day. Beautiful football. All ready for the game. I know you're standing ready.
I am ready. I got
to
go pick up a credential. I will call. I forgot to bring mine, so I got stuff I got to do here.
You forgot to bring yours.
I did.
Oh, you got to go get a badge of shame.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I got to get a badge of shame.
I didn't know this till now.
On a string.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be made of paper.
Yes, a badge of shame. Yeah, there you go. Thanks to Jersey Mike, everybody on site here. Stand by for coverage from the network of the Atlanta Falcons and Seattle Seahawks. Stand by for the pregame show. Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson. Our thanks to Noel White as well, as we go to the Falcons and Seahawks. Rise up today, Atlanta. Here we go. It's game day for the Atlanta Falcons on Sports Radio 92.9.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.